From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Security Benefit, with six decades of experience helping customers align their assets with their retirement aspirations. Details on products, careers, and company legacy at securitybenefit.com.
87 degrees in Lawrence, 90 in Manhattan. It is 6:06, and this is KPR.
From NPR News,
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, and many other frequencies all around the state. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for choosing KPR for your news needs this afternoon. I suppose it's evening, but it's still bright sunshine outside. Get you an update of news headlines at 6:30. 6:36, we'll learn more about the confirmation hearing that was held today for Dr. Erica Schwartz. She is the president's nominee for CDC director. If she is confirmed, and I will point out that she is expected to be confirmed, she's going to be leading an agency in vast disarray, and we will find out more about that coming up on Kansas Public Radio. Stick around. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, humid for the foreseeable future. Humid tonight with a low around 70. Humid tomorrow with a high in the upper 80s and a chance for rain in the afternoon. Humid tomorrow night with a low in the lower 70s. Humid on Friday with highs in the lower 90s.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's in Lawrence, announcing Final Friday at Artera with Susan Hancock, bringing the golden age of jazz to the stage, 7 p.m. Friday, July 31st. Cover at the door or online at Maselli's.com.
Degrees in Topeka, 90 in Manhattan, 89 in Atchison. You're listening to KPR, and the time is 6:20.
Since she left the Justice Department in April, and like Bondi, he used to be a lawyer for President Trump. His answers determine if senators will back him for the job permanently. Can he gain their support? That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR station. Start off your day with the latest news from NPR and KPR. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, hosting a donation drive at the Lead Center in Lawrence Tuesday, July 21st from 4 to 7 p.m., accepting gently used stereo equipment, vinyl records, cassette tapes, and musical instruments. Details at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
News headlines coming up in just about 35 seconds. It's 87 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
The city's public schools are in the process of hiring hundreds of staffers. Among other things, they would help speed up the delay families face in getting evaluations for their children. There's a focus on expanding services for students with autism in preschool, as the number of kids with that diagnosis continues to increase across the country. The program will launch this fall in 14 of the 32 community school districts in the city. Janaki Mehta, NPR News.
Stocks finished higher on Wall Street today. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The cities of Lawrence and Topeka both passed moratoriums on data center development last night. The Lawrence Times reports Lawrence City Commissioners unanimously approved a two-year moratorium. WIBW-TV reports the Topeka City Council approved a one-year moratorium. Residents of both cities have raised concerns about data centers' potential impacts on the environment and quality of life. The federal government has approved a Kansas plan to offer more flexible support for people with disabilities to live independently at home. Rachel Schnelly has more.
The new Kansas Community Support Waiver targets people age 5 and older with developmental and intellectual disabilities. It's for people who do not require 24-hour care, but still need help with things like therapies and employment services. The Kansas Department for Aging and Disability Services says federal regulators have approved a projected enrollment of 500 individuals for the first year. The new Medicaid program starts October 1st. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelly in Pittsburgh.
Kansas education officials could soon let people report student walkout protests that they believe violate a new law that raises concerns about student privacy and expression. Daniel Caudill has more.
Under a new state law, students participating in a walkout must have their parents' permission, among other restrictions. Now the state is considering a complaint form that would invite people to report walkouts that they believe violate that law. Gabby Delaney is an incoming sophomore at Derby High School. She participated in a walkout against ICE last semester.
It just defeats the whole point of protesting. Like, it's not supposed to be like, oh, can we protest? It's supposed to be like, hey, we need to make a change.
Protests that disrupt school attendance are not necessarily protected by the First Amendment. Still, some worry the law punishes student expression. It also raises privacy concerns, as the complaint form would ask for details like the names of student organizers. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudill.
The nation's hospitals are running low on blood, and the American Red Cross has declared an emergency as it seeks new donations. Logan Wright, regional communications manager for the Red Cross, says anyone donating through the end of the month can get a voucher for free movie tickets.
The Fandango movie ticket promotion is for donors who come to give blood or platelets from now until July 31st. It's a voucher that's emailed to you worth $15, and you can take that, purchase a ticket, and go see a movie on us for helping us alleviate the blood shortage.
Blood donors can schedule a donation appointment online at redcrossblood.org. We are expecting a low around 70 degrees tonight, humid again tomorrow with highs in the upper 80s. This is KPR.
This is All Things Considered.
Seeing Things. Weekday mornings on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You'll hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 99.5 FM in Manhattan, lots of other frequencies too, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Still have about 11 minutes worth of All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One station, stick around at 7:01. We will have news headlines, followed by Stardate, followed in turn by 2 hours of classical music. Jay Garmaning is your host this evening. If you're joining us on KPR2 up next at 7 o'clock, we have the Moth Radio Hour. And speaking of KPR2, you will be able to hear President Donald Trump's address to the nation tomorrow night at 8. NPR's coverage on KPR2 stations. Again, that's at 8 o'clock tomorrow night on KPR2.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living with 5 locations across eastern Kansas in Topeka, Osage City, Iola, Emporia, and El Dorado, working to empower persons with disabilities. More at rcilinc.org.
It's All Things Considered from NPR.com.
From DuckDuckGo, who believes AI should be optional, and who've been building privacy tools for 15 years. They now offer Duck.ai, where users can chat privately with AI. Duck.ai. From Fisher Investments. As a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their clients' interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. And from the Carnegie Foundation.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, we report on history as we know it and as it's happening. Connect the latest headlines back to the past every morning on NPR.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
Thanks for joining us this evening. Coming up, we have news headlines in less than a minute. Then it's start date, then 2 hours of classical music. At 9 o'clock, we have an evening of jazz planned for you.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, promoting American folk music with the annual event in Lawrence's South Park, open to the public August 23rd. Details at fidpick.org.
Feels solidly like summer. Mostly clear skies tonight and humid conditions tonight. Lows around 70. Tomorrow, more humidity. A slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s. Humid tomorrow night. Lows in the lower 70s. Highs in the lower 90s for Friday. We'll get into the mid and then upper 90s over the weekend. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Hurst. Nearly half of House Democrats voted today in favor of cutting off aid to Israel. It wasn't enough to pass, but as NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, the tally highlights a major shift in political support for a longtime ally of the United States.
The proposed amendment to a State Department funding bill would have removed over $3 billion in funding to Israel. It ultimately failed. The measure was introduced by Republican Congressman Thomas Massey of Kentucky, who has long advocated for a more isolationist posture when it comes to foreign policy. The issue divided Democratic leaders, who typically vote in lockstep. The number two Democrat in the House, Catherine Clark, voted to remove the funding for Israel. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries called it overly broad and said it would also restrict the United States' ability to confront Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terrorist organizations in the region. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News.
President Trump today said ICE officers should continue to stop vehicles as they work to detain and deport people in the country without legal status. This despite two fatal shootings in a week, one in Texas, one in Maine, that led Homeland Security officials to issue a temporary halt to the practice. On social media, Trump defended vehicle stops, urging ICE to, quote, go back and do your very important job. An appeals court has ordered a lower court to close a decades-old school desegregation case in Louisiana. The Gulf State Newsroom's Aubrey Yuhas has more.
The Fifth Circuit said in a ruling this week that the district court overstepped when it denied a joint dismissal it had no choice but to accept. The opinion bucks legal precedent. Louisiana's attorney general has been pursuing this approach with support from the Department of Justice. Until Trump's second term, the DOJ, which brought many cases against school districts back in the 60s, was working to settle, not dismiss them. Louisiana's attorney general argues the orders are so old they're obsolete, and districts should be freed from court supervision. Civil rights groups say they're still relevant because there are lingering effects from segregation. There are dozens of open cases in the South. For NPR News, I'm Aubrey Yuhas in New Orleans.
The new chair of the Federal Reserve is vowing to put high inflation in the rearview mirror. Kevin Warsh testified before the Senate Banking Committee today for the first time since taking over at the central bank. And Pierre Scott Horsley has more.
The Fed's main weapon for fighting inflation is keeping rates high. So Warsh doesn't sound like he's in a hurry to cut interest rates. But that said, he has generally tried to avoid signaling what his rate plans are. Unlike his Fed colleagues, Warsh did not offer a projection last month of where he thinks interest rates are going. And today he ducked a question from Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen about whether he's even spoken to Trump about interest rates. All he would say is he's not taking orders from the White House.
They chose an independent guy to do an independent job, and that's exactly what I plan on doing.
And Pierre Scott Horsley, you're listening to NPR News.
Stardate July 15th. Something small, dark, and heavy lurks at the heart of the Milky Way galaxy. Most astronomers say it's a black hole, but a recent study says not so fast. It could be a clump of dark matter. The central object is called Sagittarius A star. It's about 4.3 million times the mass of the Sun. A few years ago, astronomers took a picture of its shadow against a glowing background. Sagittarius A star is encircled by stars and dusty clumps in tight orbits. They're accelerated to millions of miles per hour by the gravity of the central object. The new study suggested that object could be a knot of dark matter particles known as fermions. Dark matter produces no detectable energy, but its gravity pulls on the visible matter around it. It appears to make up about 85% of all the matter in the universe, but its nature remains unknown. The clump could account for many of the observed qualities of the central dark object. Other studies have suggested that dark matter could produce fountains of gamma rays that shoot from the galaxy's core. Dark matter particles could produce the gamma rays when they ram together and cancel each other out. The dark matter model doesn't explain all of the evidence of a black hole, but future instruments should be able to discern between the two models, providing a definitive explanation for the darkness at the galaxy's heart. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Umberding. So glad to listen to music with you. It's summer and there's a lot of shorebirds that you might be seeing if you've had a chance to get out to the lake. This is some music for shorebirds. How do you write music for shorebirds? Well, you start by watching the young ones flit through these overgrown patches of marshland. Then you feel the refreshing breezes of the open country air. The birds grow chattier. They take to the sky one by one. Composer Jean Sibelius put all of that into this piece, the cute, sweet, sweet mignon. It's the sound of shorebirds going through their life cycle. The English String Orchestra, conducted by William Boughton. The Suite Mignon by Jean Sibelius. We're walking out on a summer's day, coming up next.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, a constellation of campuses working to improve lives in Kansas and beyond through health research, public safety training, workforce development, and natural resource protection, and more. Details at kansas.ku.edu. And the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, presenting Dom Flemons of the Carolina Chocolate Drops in Lawrence's South Park, Sunday, August 23rd. More information at fidpick.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 88 and fair. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 88 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Here's Danish composer Emil Riesen with a happy little seasonal number called I Walked Out on a Summer's Day. Those Danes, you know, everything's always happy to them. They're just relentlessly positive. It's a whole country full of mourning people. Pretty charming, actually. got more summery near the end there. I wonder if you've ever had that terribly lonely experience of leaving home for career reasons or any reason, and you land in your new digs, and right away you're like, I really don't know about this. It just doesn't feel right, you know? For me, that was Nashville after college. I did not fit in at all. It happens that doesn't necessarily convince you you're in the right place altogether, but you know you only could have had that experience right then and there. It's a life changer. For example, you see the fiddler Stuart Duncan play at the Station Inn in Nashville. Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg went to Leipzig, Germany as a 15-year-old to study music. He was not a fan. He thought the city was oppressive. He thought the school of music was too conservative. He thought they were way too rigid, having a lousy time. But then, something really big happened. He got to see a performance of Robert Schumann's Piano Concerto. Who should happen to be performing it but his widow, Clara, one of the greatest players in Europe. Changed his life. And 10 years later, this Piano Concerto came out, with a big nod to Schumann. The Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra featuring Alice Sarah Ott performing the Piano Concerto by Edvard Grieg. Michael Abels, the Prognosticator, coming up next.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the LMH Health Heart Center, providing cardiovascular testing, procedures, and preventative care. More information is available at lmh.org/heart. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, working with individuals, families, and communities to promote independent living and individual choice to persons with disabilities. More information at rcilinc.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the east-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 87 and fair. That's KPR weather.
You remember travel agents? And when you cared about stuff like TV reception? Time marches on. Maybe even the word COVID doesn't carry the same weight that it once did. Sometimes a composer can become irrelevant in this way, and that's not a great feeling. And then sometimes it goes the other way. Relevance works in a composer's favor. This is a piece called Global Warming. You won't believe this, but when it was written in the early 90s, it had nothing whatsoever to do with, well, global warming. It was about international relations. And suddenly it found itself the center of attention. It even took on some new shades of meaning.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the east-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 87 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Raindrops are just crying out to be made into music. They have rhythm, they have tone, they have mood. They can be angry and cold, or soft and gentle. It's catnip for a composer. This composer heard raindrops being an A-flat tone, so that's what you're hearing now. Maybe they only sound that way in France, where he's from. A Walk in the Rain, coming up this hour.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The U.S. and Iran are exchanging fire for the fifth day in a row, and neither side is showing signs of backing down. The Pentagon says the U.S. attacked new Iranian military sites today, targeting Tehran's ability to threaten ships in the Strait of Hormuz following Iranian attacks on military operations, U.S. military operations in the region. The U.S. also reimposed a naval blockade on Iranian ports. Three confirmation hearings took place on Capitol Hill today. President Trump's nominee to be the director of the CDC, Dr. Erica Schwartz, struggled today to convince senators she'd stand up to Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy questioned whether she'd be able to act independently from political appointees for the good of the people.
Will you have the ability and the firmness to stand up to that political meddling, to say no? That's wrong, and this is right.
Chairman, you have my assurances that I will continue to lead by my integrity. I will never compromise on the science. I will always, always have the public's health in mind.
Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche also confronted skeptical questions today over the creation of a fund to compensate allies of President Trump and the tax audit immunity deal for Trump and his family. And Director of National Intelligence nominee Jay Clayton, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, faced a tense round of questions from Democrats who questioned his stance on the 2020 election, which President Trump continues to falsely claim was rigged. But Clayton refused to answer Georgia Senator John Ossoff.
Who won the 2020 election?
I'm not going to do this with you.
This is a job interview. We've established that you have an obligation to be honest and forthright with the committee. Yes, you do have an obligation to be honest and forthright with the committee.
Yes.
Who won the 2020 election?
Like I said, I'm not going to get into that with you.
Republicans and some Democrats are eager to get a permanent head confirmed because Trump's interim DNI, Bill Pulte, has no intelligence experience. More than 830 wildfires are burning in Canada, along with more than a dozen in northern Minnesota. That's forcing mandatory evacuations and spreading unhealthy smoke across the upper Midwest through the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic. Some of the largest wildfires are burning in west-central Ontario. In remote northern Minnesota, rangers are working to evacuate thousands of campers from the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Officials warn the fire could burn for months. Wholesale inflation fell from May to June on plunging energy prices, but intensifying hostilities with Iran are clouding the outlook. The Labor Department says its producer price index, which captures inflation before it reaches consumers, dropped 0.3% in May. You're listening to NPR News.
If you've seen The Wizard of Oz, then you know there's no place like home. But when it comes to tornado safety, that might not always be the case.
My name is Afiz Badmos. I am a PhD candidate in the Civil Engineering Department here at KU. My advisor is Dr. Elena Sotley. My research aims to reduce tornado losses by improving the performance of residential buildings.
Your research is looking to raise awareness about tornado safety and to make recommendations for building techniques to withstand tornado force winds.
The codes available right now do not incorporate tornado provisions for residential buildings. Most of the homes we live in are not designed to resist any form of tornado intensity. We are trying to develop a risk-informed framework to see that if we improve our residential buildings to withstand some EF intensity of tornadoes, we might be able to reduce these losses.
What are some specific recommendations?
My research focuses on how to make the roof connections very, very intact, and that's by providing hurricane clips instead of the traditional toenail connections, improving the roof sheeting cover, improving the nail schedule instead of 12 inches spacing, using a 6 inches spacing along the edges and the field.
Your research has shown that in areas where these techniques are used, construction costs are about 5% more, but those costs can be recouped in the forms of higher resale values and insurance discounts.
These techniques have been applied in hurricane prone regions, and they can definitely be applied here as well.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Jake Umberding. Glad to be listening to music with you. Always. Here is the longest, maybe best known, of Frédéric Chopin's Preludes, number 15, also known as the Raindrop. He wrote it during a rainstorm, was very annoyed, bristled at the suggestion that he was imitating the rain. To his mind, it was, quote, a translation of nature's harmonies. Ah, right, of course, I see. Anyway, nature was apparently harmonizing in A flat, so that's what he wrote. I mean, don't argue with Chopin.
Thank you.
the artful and patient playing of Maurizio Pollini. That was Prelude No. 15, The Raindrop, by Chopin. In 2019, the China National Orchestra commissioned a piece of the wonderful composer Xiaogang Ye. They wanted something commemorating the Jinggang Massif in eastern China. Now, this is a mountain with quite a history. It was here that Mao Zedong led the Chinese Workers and Peasants' Red Army against the ruling party during the first days of the Chinese Civil War. Here's a bit of a soundtrack to that event. It's the Memories of Mount Jinggang. The Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, featuring violist Deong Mei. The Memories of Mount Jinggong by Xiaogang Ye. Two Russian composers head south for a little Spanish vacation, coming up next.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 85 and fair. Wind is from the east-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 85 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for northeast Kansas.
Sometimes you just get desperate for some sun. For Russians, that was the prevailing sentiment in the late 1800s. Maybe there were a lot of brochures lying around. They started to get a little obsessed with Spain. They were sitting around daydreaming about the sun-kissed life. I mean, you can hardly blame the average Siberian for daydreaming about Barcelona, now can you? Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov wasn't immune to this himself. He wrote this next piece, trying to transport himself from Russia to Spain. There's something fun to listen for in the fourth movement. Rimsky-Korsakov told the string section to strum as if they were gypsy guitarists. Let's see if the Dallas Symphony Orchestra can get their Spanish flair on.
We'll be right back.
the Dallas Symphony Orchestra performing Capriccio Español by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. Here is The Russians Flee to Spain, Part 2. It's the Spanish Caprice from Russian composer Moritz Moskovsky.
Thank you. Curiosity leads to understanding.
What changed your mind?
It bridges divides.
Because it's not a black and white story, in my opinion, about heroes and villains.
And fosters connection.
The more we can interact with actual human beings, the better understanding we'll have of how truly complex and thoughtful people are.
Curiosity brings you here. This is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 85 and fair. Wind is from the east-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 85 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Thank you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 85 and fair. Wind is from the east-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 85 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche was on Capitol Hill for a Senate confirmation hearing to be the permanent head of the Justice Department. It was a rocky hearing where he faced criticism by Republican Senator John Cornyn, who was defeated by a Trump-backed opponent in the Texas primary. Cornyn grilled Blanche about his role in creating a $1.8 billion fund for purported victims of Justice Department persecution. Blanche needs all the Republican votes to get his nomination out of the committee and onto the full Senate. NPR's Ryan Lucas has more.
Democrats are united in their opposition to Blanche's nomination. They say he's weaponized the department to go after President Trump's perceived enemies. They criticize his handling of the Epstein files, the firing of apolitical career employees at the Justice Department. The list really goes on and on. But for better or worse, when it comes to this confirmation, Blanche knows he really only has to worry about keeping all of the Republican senators on board.
NPR's Ryan Lucas. At least a dozen Democrats in Maine are hoping to win their party's nomination to challenge Republican Senator Susan Collins this fall. As Kevin Miller with Maine Public Radio reports, Democrats are scrambling to replace former nominee Graham Plattner.
The list of candidates who filed papers by Wednesday's deadline includes several names familiar to Democratic voters. For instance, three of the contenders, former State Senate President Troy Jackson, Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows, and former Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah, competed in last month's gubernatorial primary. Plattner lost the support of state and national party leaders after a former romantic partner accused him of raping her 5 years ago. He strongly denied the allegations, but withdrew last week. The Maine Democratic Party is now under intense pressure from Plattner's large and mobilized base of supporters to choose a replacement with the same populist, progressive agenda. The new nominee will be chosen on July 25th. For NPR News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Argentina is headed back to the World Cup final after beating England 2-1 in today's semifinal. NPR's Becky Sullivan has more.
The defending champs are defeat-defying escape artists. In every knockout game so far, Argentina has come face-to-face with elimination. They have gone to extra time twice and trailed late in two other games, including in this semifinal in Atlanta against England. In a tough physical game, England scored first, but that just seemed to uncork Argentina, who cranked up the intensity as they took shot after shot late in the second half. It felt inevitable they would score, and in the 85th minute, they did. Enzo Fernandez hit a rocket in from outside the penalty area. Then soon after, his teammate Lautaro Martinez put Argentina ahead with a stoppage time header. Assisting on both goals, superstar Lionel Messi. Now, Argentina is headed to the final for a possible repeat. This time, they'll face Spain, a defensive juggernaut that has allowed its opponents only one goal in the entire World Cup. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, Atlanta.
This is NPR News. Iran's former president is denying reports that Israel cultivated him as a possible future leader of Iran. The report was first published in the New York Times. And as NPR's Adil Al-Shalchi reports, his office called it fake news.
Former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad called the New York Times report an attempt to, quote, disturb public opinion in Iran. The report claimed that Ahmadinejad and the Mossad had met secretly in 2025 and that the CIA was later informed that it had established contact with him. The report goes on to say that Israel believed that Ahmadinejad's break with the Islamic Republic was genuine and that he could be installed as Iran's new leader. In the statement, the former Iranian president denied that he's under house arrest, contrary to what the report said. The liberal Israeli news outlet Haaretz published its own version of the same report. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Istanbul.
Astronomers have discovered a faint, elusive planet that's orbiting a young star. This after more than a decade of star-style hide-and-seek. Researchers found the new planet around the star Beta Pictoris, which was overshadowed by its considerably brighter star and two companion planets. This new planet is slightly bigger than Jupiter, and it takes 91 years to orbit its star, a little longer than it takes Uranus to orbit our sun. Born into a star system that's barely 20 million years old compared to the sun's 4.5 billion-year-old neighborhood, the planet is probably similar to a much younger Jupiter. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Andrew Carnegie Foundation, formerly Carnegie Corporation of New York, working to reduce political polarization through support for education, democracy, and peace. More information at carnegie.org.
You have found your place for jazz all night long. It's Kansas Public Radio, and I'm Tom Parkinson. Thank you for stopping by to check out some jazz. We're going to start out this hour with something from guitarist Grant Green, with McCoy Tyner on piano, Bob Cranshaw on the bass, and the mighty Elvin Jones behind the drums. From back in 1965, recorded at Rudy Van Gelder's, here's one of Grant Green's tunes. He calls it Green Jeans.
Thank you.